This show was made at Access Radio Taranaki with help from New Zealand On Air. To find more local content, go to our website, accessradiotaranaki.com.
It's time for real stories from those who make our region and our country their home. Time for making yourself at home, thanks to the support from the Ethnic Communities Development Fund.
Hello, hello, good morning. Here it's Access Radio Taranaki, 104.4 FM, your voice, your choice. We are here in the studio, Alina from Romania, Amna from Pakistan, and we have our guest Maria from Venezuela. Good morning, ladies. How are you this morning?
Good morning.
Good morning, ladies. How are you? And everybody who is listening.
Yeah. Yes. So we are Access Radio Taranaki, and it's 11 a.m. in the morning, and we always, at this time, we have Making Yourself at Home show. It's a show about migrants that made New Zealand their home. And they are living now in New Plymouth. And I'm so happy today to introduce our guest. And Maria, she's originally from Venezuela. It's Maria Elena. And she's now proud calling Aotearoa New Zealand home. She's born in the garden city near Caracas. And Maria's journey is full of passion, resilience, and reinvention. For decades, she dedicated herself to judo, joining the national team while studying computer science at the Central University of Venezuela. And later, she became a lecturer, sharing her love for learning with students for over 20 years. And today, Maria continues her passion for teaching through her work as a learning designer and keeps her love of fitness alive with Zumba and group classes, which also where I am seeing Maria one time per week each Monday. And I'm so happy to have her today. I know that she was also part of our show 2 years ago. And I know a lot of things happened in 2 years. And I'm very excited to know more about how was her journey from Caracas to New Zealand, and also what happened in the last 2 years of her life. So please welcome Maria.
Welcome, Maria.
Thank you. Thank you very much for inviting me again to join to this program. Happy to share my experience with the audience. Thank you for the introduction.
Yes, my pleasure. Always, Maria.
Yeah. Yeah, so you want to know a little bit more about what happening in these 2 years?
It's just 2 years, but also for people who don't know you yet, because I know Amna, she doesn't know you. Can you tell us a little bit first how you came to New Zealand and what were the reasons that you arrived here?
Okay, yeah. Well, probably some of you know that the Venezuela situation hasn't been good since the last more than 20 years. And sadly, at some point, my family and I made the decision to move to another country because it wasn't safe for us to live in Venezuela anymore. And that was the reason we chose New Zealand. I did my PhD in Australia before I moved back to Venezuela. So I knew a little bit about New Zealand. The other reason New Zealand have an open skill visa that were aligned with my career and my skills. As Alina mentioned, I used to be a lecturer at the university, Central University of Venezuela, for more than 20 years. And New Zealand was looking for lectures, tutors, to help with the students and with a tertiary education sector in here in New Zealand. So my skills aligned perfectly with what they needed. So we chose to come to New Zealand. We saw what probably is not too different to Australia. We already live in that part of the world. We're happy to move to New Zealand. And then we start to apply them. Well, the process was not too bad. I mean, as I said, I met the requirements, and I got the visa to come to New Zealand. We came to Auckland. Okay. As usual, we didn't know too much about New Zealand, apart that was close to Australia. And we said, well, let's go to Auckland. It's the biggest city. And from there, I start my long journey. Okay. Unfortunately, it wasn't that easy to find a permanent job as a lecturer or tutor. I would have thought that it would be easier, but didn't. So I stay in Auckland and working for Auckland University, AUT, Auckland University of Technology, as a casual contractor for about 4 years. After several applications, several universities, polytechnics in Auckland, I didn't get a full-time job. Then I decided to apply out of New Zealand, out of Auckland.
Auckland.
Yeah. And then, probably one of my first applications was to WIT, Western Institute of Technology, as a full-time tutor in there, and I got it. So I got the job. I moved to New Plymouth. We moved to New Plymouth. It was my first time coming to New Plymouth, and amazingly, I really liked the city.
Yeah.
Probably it's because it was similar in somehow to the city where I was born. It was a small city, not big, have a mountain, close to the sea. My home city was also close to the Caribbean coast. And I see kind of connection with this city. And I decided to make not only New Zealand home, but also New Plymouth. And since there, I have lived in here. In these last 2 years, or probably when the last time I came, I used to work at WIT, but then I moved to work as a learning designer for Open Polytechnic, helping the students in another way, from nice. Behind the scenes instead of from the scene. One of the reasons to change is after a long career, probably I was thinking, well, I would like to do something a little bit different, but still in the education sector and still helping the students.
Yeah.
And here I am. I've been working for Open Poly for about 3 years now.
3 years already. Yeah,
how it's interesting. How did you get into Zumba?
Okay, that is a good question. When I was in Auckland, okay. When I came to New Zealand, I didn't do judo anymore. Okay. In here, because we had limited resources, I couldn't afford to pay for judo classes. In here, it's a little bit different from Venezuela. In Venezuela, sports, you can find sports for free in everywhere. Yeah. But in here, you need to pay for the classes, okay? That was one of the things. The other thing probably was in Venezuela, I was at the level of teaching judo there. But in here, teaching judo was not something like I could do straightforward without having my own business, okay? So I said, okay. It's fine. I need to do some fitness classes. And one day I was in YMCA, Mount Albert in Auckland. I listened to some music, Caribbean, salsa, merengue. Oh, my gosh. What is that?
Nice.
And it's so something that they say, this is Zumba classes. Haven't done Zumba classes before. And so that look okay. I was looking through the windows. That sounds good to me. In here in New Zealand, you didn't hear Latin American music so much. And I said, why I don't try this? And then I looked the window where these classes are running on Mondays, I think. I'm going to try. Surprised when I went into the class, it was in the reception with somebody else in the reception. And I said, where you come from? Originally, that's the question. And I said, I come from Venezuela. Oh, my God, you know that the instructor is from Venezuela, too.
Wow,
oh, I didn't know that.
So good. Huh?
Yeah, so good. I didn't know that the instructor was from Venezuela. And I did my first class and really enjoyed that. And I said, oh, well, I come just listen to music, be able to dance to our Caribbean rhythms. Was something that I feel kind of connection with my country, with Caribbean country where that I come from. And that is what I started doing Zumba. And from then, I haven't stopped that.
How nice.
It's a nice place to be. And I think each Monday night, it's such full of life class. You know, it's like bring you back, for me, it's like bringing me back to Romania, to my Latin roots. Mm-hmm. And I think the teachers are also amazing. And yeah, Maria, it's always into the music. So whenever I look to Maria, she's so much tuned into. Mm-hmm. And I really enjoy to dance with her.
Thank you. Thank you. There is a little bit story about coming here. When I tell my instructor in Oakland that I moved to New Plymouth, she said, it's a very nice group running, but Maori ladies in there.
Maori ladies.
I will put in contact with them. And you're going to enjoy that. That group is amazing. So when I came to New Plymouth and settled, find a place to rent, I went to the, I think the second thing that I did was went to the classes. And the classes were very close where I used to live before. It was like a 2 minutes walk. Well, I introduced to the instructors, Silene, which is my Venezuelan instructor in Oakland. Oh, yeah, we know her. That class was amazing. She was running by Puna. Oh, my God. She was amazing. It was about 30 people, so I was on the back because I couldn't get into the front. it was quite nice, amazing class, full of Latin American rhythms in there. Yeah,
it's amazing class. And as you said, you know, sometimes you have to come very early to have a place in front. Usually I stay on the, always on the left side because I'm the last one coming.
But also, I start doing other classes because, believe it or not, New Plymouth is a small place, but there are some other Zumba classes is happening. And I said, well, I want to do more. Yeah, I came to another class on Sundays as well with another instructor, Carly. At that time happening that she just started that class, so I started with that group as well. And there is one other thing. There was a friend from Oakland that she used to teach in Oakland, and when I came to New Plymouth, somebody told me, you go to New Plymouth? This person is in there. So I sent a message, I'm very happy you're here. I'm running a class in here, so I get my third Zumba class with her. Yeah.
It's nice that it's quite international, and I feel that New Zealand is quite small. You know, everybody knows everybody, also from other cities, right, like Auckland. And when you come from Auckland, you already know people from New Plymouth, which is quite interesting.
How interesting. So you still run Zumba classes, right?
Yeah, still doing my Zumba
and
classes.
And is there any like age limit or anybody can join?
No, I don't think there's any age limit. Anybody can join. We have a kid from the age of, 4 or 5 years, you see them around the classes with the parents. And no limit for the age.
There's no limit. Yeah, my daughter, she's 10 and she's always there.
Yeah.
How nice. I think I should try this also.
Yes.
I didn't know about it, but I'm going to give it a try.
Yeah. So today, 6 p.m., we meet at Tasman Club. And we have today's Puna as our instructor. Usually it's also Angie. Angie is away now for a holiday.
Mm.
But Puna, she's great.
How nice. Mm-hmm. And keeps you alive also because...
Yeah.
I think Zumba is slightly fast-paced also. It's more like...
Yes.
Like bigger movements and more like dancing and enjoying mm-hmm. yourself.
Yes.
Mm. Yeah. It's not only about fitness, but also the sense of community.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah, that there is in there. I had met wonderful people like Elena.
Yes.
It's a community. Mm. And at the end, you start saying, okay, I have been living in New Plymouth, so I have known those people for 5 years. That they are my friends, my family, my family.
Yeah, so whenever it's like I said last time, you know, whenever something happens to one of us, or, you know, like when my father passed away, you know, everybody knew, and, you know, sending me condolences, or somebody's moving from another country. Like, for example, we have Olivia now that she's moving to Australia, and Puna gave her like a small present, like a kocha, you know, because she was there with us for so long. So we are more like a family rather than just going to a class and dance indeed. And then go home.
Indeed.
It's so amazing how so many different things can bring you close together and make you into a community. And I think more of these classes should be promoted, and the sense of community is so amazing. I think before the interview started, I just asked Maria what song is, because I was putting up her story and I just couldn't figure out what Venezuelan song should I put on it. So we were just exchanging different songs that are local to Venezuela. And it's so interesting to listen to somebody else's beat, and it just, you don't understand the language, but it kind of gets you moving.
Like, yeah.
The beat kind of makes you want to dance. And
probably you don't, for people that don't know, Zumba is a Colombian guy who created Zumba about more than 10 years ago.
Interesting.
Yeah. So, by the way, this guy is going to be in Australia in November. Running a class. He has an interesting story about Zumba, created Zumba by mistake.
Oh, really?
Yeah. He moved from Colombia to Miami, I think, and to the States somewhere, like American Dream thing, like that. And one day he was running some, I don't know, it was like, I'm not sure it was step class or something like that. He forgot the music. And then, oh my God, what is the music? And he found some music into his bag that he get from the radio, something like this. Start to play the music and start the beginning of what was Zumba. People like it that. Mm-hmm. So mistakenly, he created Zumba. Start the journey to this big movement around. Yeah. I would say movement, but this company, but around the world where they have more than 200. Countries that have Zumba classes.
How amazing. Yeah. Such a happy, good mistake.
Yeah.
So it's always good to make mistakes, because you never know what might come out of it.
Yeah.
So are you, when you moved to New Zealand, did you move with your family, or did you just, was it just you alone?
No, I moved with my family. I have two grown-up kids now. Mm. My son, who is 19, my daughter who is 26, my son still live with me, and my daughter is in Auckland now. Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
Mm. Yes. So she has a new job in Auckland, right? I know that you are sharing that, and she's very happy.
Yeah, she got a new job. She have a bachelor of dance studies, and she found a job close related to the bachelor of dance. She's more than happy in there in Auckland. Yeah.
That's nice. Did you get to visit home within these past 10 years?
No. Haven't go back to Venezuela. Basically, I think because my family, when my brother left also the country, my close friends, most of them have also left the country.
Mm.
And so not too much interesting to go back when you
have nobody there. Yeah.
But there are still people that you know, of course.
Mm.
But yeah, when your family is away, your friends are away, but you have now, I have now a lot of places to go to yeah. meet them. But probably not to Venezuela because I don't know. I may go up in the future, but just right now, probably I'm not ready to go back. Yeah.
Okay.
But yeah, of course, probably in the future, I would like to go back to the place where I was born when I grew up and where I developed my career,
yeah.
of course. Mm-hmm. I would, but I haven't been there in the last 10 years.
Mm. 10 years, yeah. It's quite a long time, and I understand if you don't have anyone, you know, like families who are there. And when you arrived here in New Zealand, what were your challenges? Because I know we were talking in the weekend about things that were challenging at the moment, and how was that for you, and how did you adapt to the new country?
Yeah, probably the biggest challenge was not be able to find a permanent full-time job in my area, where it's a teaching area. Because that is what I got a visa for, to be a tutor, to be a lecturing here. And I didn't think that would be so hard to find a permanent job in that area. And I think for 4 years, I was kind of struggling, tried new things to do to get that job. But this challenge or these issues always bring a learning.
Mm-hmm.
And during that journey, I met so wonderful people, not only from Latin America, but from other countries that helped me during that journey, giving me some advice that I took it and helped me finally to find a job. For example, have a friend who told me, listen, you need to start looking for a job out of Auckland, okay? I have another friend who said to me, you probably need to go and get a qualification in adult and tertiary education because my background is in IT. I became a lecturer, but you don't need to have an education background to teach at the university level.
Mm.
So, I had some training from my country in the education part, but he get a qualification. He told me, I'm doing that, get a qualification for adult and tertiary education. And remember mentioning him, yeah, but I don't have a permanent job. I don't have money. And he told me, go to SIT. SIT is one of the polytechnic, but this polytechnic is half more affordable at that moment, at least more affordable fees for the students. And he said, okay, I didn't know that.
Mm.
And I went to get my qualifications at adult and tertiary education and apply for a job out of Auckland. And I got a job.
And you got a job in New Plymouth? This is how you
New Plymouth is the way I got to New Plymouth.
Amazing.
So that I think meeting those people from everywhere in the world, well, not Latin American, there were people from other
mm-hmm.
countries who told me that and say, okay, at the end, we are not alone in this journey. There are a lot of people, not only from our Latin American community, but other communities that help you,
mm-hmm.
that are happy to help you with those advice.
Absolutely. And I think we should be open to these conversations. It doesn't have to be anybody from within our mm-hmm. country. Sometimes you'll just get a blessing in disguise from somebody else, and they'll just give you a really good advice. So I think one should be really open to these conversations and just meeting new people.
Definitely, mm-hmm. definitely. Yeah, this is one of my advice for people coming to this country. Talk to the other, you don't know who's gonna give you a good advice.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, be open to follow those advice, because I could say, nah, I'm not gonna do that. And I said, well, it makes sense what you're telling me, and
exactly.
then I'm gonna do it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's wow. nice.
It's nice, yeah. Mm. And I'm really curious, what was that person? Are you still friends with the person that gave you this advice? And did you continue the relationship or?
Well, there was not only one. One of the this guy, he's from Bangladesh. Yeah, mm-hmm. He stayed in Auckland. And he worked, I think, one of the polytechnics. Now, we are in contact through LinkedIn, yeah. Yeah, the professional network. Yeah. No messenger, but we are, I always see his post on that yes. network. The other guy, I can't remember, this is from India, probably. Pakistan, and he worked in another polytechnic in Palmerston North. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think he's also on LinkedIn.
LinkedIn, yeah. Wow, yeah. Amazing!
Yeah, Pakistan. We met through AUT yes. because we all of them, including me, we were as a casual working at AUT, so it was kind of the same struggling to get a permanent job.
Yeah. Wow. And I mean, I was also doing an MBA in Auckland at Auckland Institute of Studies, IES, and there were only people from other countries. There were nobody from New Zealand. And I remember how much we help each other. And I have also my friend from China. Would I stay to her house? So she received me in her house. She gave me food and everything. And so grateful to have her as a friend. And I think from that moment, my relationship with China and, you know, seeing people being so kind with me changed my life and my perception of other people. I think it's sometimes we have to be open to everything, to all the cultures.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Do you by any chance remember any advice that you got that you always thought that, okay, I'm going to remember this and I might pass this on to somebody else who might be in my shoes?
Well, the advice to get, as I mentioned, get a qualification from New Zealand is something that I always tell people. When you're struggling to find a job, I mean, different from probably other countries, have a New Zealand qualification, I think, is important for employers in here in New Zealand. So when people are struggling, I say, well, you go to the polytechnic and get a qualification, because you can have a qualification in there for as short as 6 months to 3 years. It's a bachelor, but you can get something in your area. For just in 6 months you get it. It's what I did. So that is an advice that I keep telling people. When you are struggling with jobs, you're coming from another country, then try to do something in New Zealand, because they appreciate that. Because when I came here, I had my PhD. So it's a 10 level. It's a level 10. What it did another qualification. Exactly. I mean, I already got a top.
And it's not recognized, right? It's like...
was recognized, but I think they appreciate when you also have a New Zealand qualification.
Yeah.
And that is a good advice. And the second advice is think about out of Auckland. Because sometimes people think, oh, no, I'm not going to go to a small city, no jobs. I think people don't think they even we have houses in here.
Yes.
This is a misunderstanding why small cities may look like, I think.
Yeah.
A little bit afraid to move out of Auckland. This is the other advice. I mean, if you find a job out of Auckland, don't be afraid to take it because,
right.
Well, you can always go back to Auckland. But there was, how amazing compared with Auckland is New Plymouth instead of a community. We were talking about knowing everybody.
Yeah. Yes, the community, I think it's so important here, right?
Yeah, you always meet somebody. When you go to a shopping center, when you go to an event, it's always somebody that you know. Even locals, I think they are very kind, they are very nice, they are welcoming people. I really appreciate that one. So these are the two advice for people who are struggling with jobs. Try to get a New Zealand qualification. And if you are living in Auckland, struggling in Auckland, why not try outside Auckland?
Yeah, it's a great advice. And also, like for me, I realized when I came here, when I was going to interviews, everybody told me if I have New Zealand experience, right?
Yeah.
It says it's so important to have New Zealand experience. Mm. And you can also have it by being a volunteer or being part of the community, because it's mainly everybody knows everybody. So if people see you and you are in the community, then they trust you.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. I did some volunteer work in Auckland as well.
Yeah.
Because that was one of the things that I knew it from, from somebody, but you read that, doing the volunteer work. So I joined it to something called, I can't remember. It's a technological event for encourage young girls to study computer science and programming. So I was a mentoring for a very nice group of ladies in there, four girls in there. I think it was one of the high school. It was an amazing experience to be mentoring as a volunteer. Mm. It was a challenge, and they need to complete that one. And I was helping them through the way to get that. Yeah. Technovation, I think it was the name. Yeah.
At times when we move to a new country, for now let's talk New Zealand, we come with an idea that, okay, so we have this qualification, we have work experience also, but it takes a lot of time to actually accept the fact that you definitely need New Zealand work experience or New Zealand, some sort of certification from within New Zealand. And it's kind of important for migrants and refugees, somebody to tell them that, you might have a lot of experience, you do have good education, but then again, you do require something that you've done within New Zealand. And that's quite a key, I think, important message that needs to be informed to everybody. And yeah. I've experienced it too. And I came in thinking, okay, I can, I've worked in this field, I've studied this, so it won't be that difficult. But there were some hurdles, but you do need to understand and then work yourself according to how New Zealand or the companies, organizations expect from you. So I think that advice needs to be plastered everywhere.
Everywhere, right?
Yeah. And there is something important for everybody to know, is that there are some programs that, of course, have fees, and probably people gonna see, okay, they are maybe too expensive for me, or are not gonna be able to pay for that right now. But there are also a lot of free courses offering for polytechnics in New Zealand. Mm. So keep an eye on those free courses, okay? Because, of course, depending on the visa, some people can apply to these free courses. Mm. So have a look to all the polytechnics. There are 60 polytechnics.
60, okay. Wow, amazing.
Have a look what are the free courses they offer for them. And of course, I work at Open Polytechnic, where it's a distant education provider. These courses are people are not face-to-face, so people can do it anywhere.
Yeah. It's amazing. I wanted to also to do some courses through Open Polytechnic, so maybe afterwards I can ask you some questions. But just to share a story from a friend of mine who is not living anymore in New Plymouth, and she also came from another country, and of course she had an MBA in her country, and she was very smart and everything, and she said she applied for all the jobs here in New Plymouth, and she was trying so hard, and she didn't get any job. And then she said, only when I took out my MBA from my CV, then I got a job. Because she said sometimes when you're overqualified, you don't get a job. Did you experience something like this? Or because I heard this from more migrants.
I knew about that. And it was a lot of customizing my CV to the roles that I apply. Yeah. That is, and in some cases, I think I took out my PhD, but for from the job I got from for WIT or Open Poly, I did put my
PhD.
It's important to, I would say, customize your CV to the role. I mean, sometimes that qualification may not be relevant for that.
Yeah.
Then, take it out. It's just my advice. Better, customize the CV and according to the role.
Yeah. And I think also, like, for me, it's sometimes, putting yourself down. Like, I feel sometimes us as migrants, because we are not from here, we take some things out in order just to take a job, right? Mm. Doesn't matter what job it is, you want a job.
Mm.
And I think in the moment that we do that, right, it's our self-esteem goes so low. Did you ever experience that? I don't know, both of you.
Well, I'm going to tell you yes. When I work at the University in Venezuela, I did more than 20 years in there. I was a professor. I got a professor is the highest level that you can get at the university. When I left, I was a professor. But when I came here, I get a job as a professor is just too hard. Mm-hmm. So I got a job at AUT as a senior lecturer. That is, it was casual, but it was the level. But when I moved to WIT, I was just at the lowest level.
Yeah.
That I got. It's as you said. In order to get a job, you can say okay, I'm just gonna be a lecturer, and you start to feel like you said disappointed because it's a long career, and you say, well, I'm not really a lecturer. I got a professor because of all those years teaching. Is when I decide I move and do something else.
Close
to education. So I'm going to be a learning designer because I don't mind. I can start from not a junior, but probably a lowest level of a learning designer. I don't mind because I'm not a learning designer. Starting my career as a learning designer, I wouldn't mind to do that. And then I decide to say, well, it's good. I'm changing now. Mm-hmm. So I'm not going to mind to be just a learning designer, maybe not a senior learning designer.
Yes. Mm. And such I felt a big better. Journey. Yeah. It's amazing how we, model ourselves
exactly
to fit in.
Yeah.
And I think it's a big journey that we always talk at the radio, for example, with people that sometimes we have to change things ourselves and put maybe ourselves down in order to fit in, right?
And sometimes I think, it is at times needed also, because it can affect your confidence, it can affect your self-esteem, but then when you're starting almost all over again, it kind of helps you learn about yourself too, the potential that you have. Sometimes we think, okay, in my case, I always thought I'm only going to be a textile designer all my life. I'm only going to make prints. That's it. That's what I know. But since I got so many rejections from the kind of field I wanted to work on, that's when I realized that, okay, this is not going to work for me. Let me try something else. Maybe there's something else that I can do. And honestly, that has helped me. And my direction towards those things, I'm more inclined towards those things. And maybe I want to, in future, want to do some sort of certification or maybe study in or things that I'm doing now. And I've put my... I wouldn't say like dreams. We have so many dreams.
Yeah.
But I've put one dream on hold and I want to see how the other things work. But coming back to the point of resumes and CVs, I think there should be some sort of event or a program where migrants are taught how to make cover letters, CVs, and getting letter of recommendations. Because in New Zealand, where we come from, resumes are completely different. And in New Zealand, CVs are different to, like, they have different requirements. You need to have a good cover letter also. And sometimes we don't understand what do we need to put in our cover letters or in our resumes.
Yeah.
So I think it's something that needs to be taught to the migrants also. Because I used to send out my old resumes, the ones that I made in Pakistan,
yeah.
and I used to use them there, but they didn't work here.
No.
And that's when somebody told me that you need to completely change your resume. You have to have a different cover letter.
Yeah.
So now I have these folders in my computer
yeah.
that, okay, so I'm applying in the education sector. This is how my resume should look. I'm applying in the art sector. This is how my resume should
yeah.
look.
Wow.
So these are small details, but they have a really big impact. And this needs to be taught
yeah.
to migrants,
it's
I think.
It's a great idea. And maybe mm. we can, you know, put it in action. You know, for example, like from Maria, who is a, you know, you are a lecturer. Maybe we can think about
mm.
a special program for migrants to help them
mm.
with that, right?
Yeah, in Auckland, there were workshops. Yeah, I attended the workshop
mm.
for CVs.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and there was a person who checked the CV.
Mm.
Yeah, there are events in there. Or I remember I attended one event for New Zealanders, present and giving some tips about how to find a job.
Mm.
But I think also depends on the industry you go. I mean,
mm.
I think education is a little bit different from others
mm-hmm.
Companies. But yeah, it's a good idea. I don't know if we have a workshop in here in New Plymouth,
yeah.
but happy to help people with that. I'm
yeah.
helping my daughter all the time and she got a job, I think.
Oh yeah, so you are
yeah,
a good person that we can go to, right?
Yeah,
yeah,
she showed me, I mean, she always asked me about her CV. She's like, I'm going to give you my CV to check and say, well,
mm-hmm.
yeah, take this out. Well, she got a job. I don't know because of my advice, but of course, because of her skills. But
Yeah, this could be made into a workshop and
yes.
people can just bring in their resumes and we can help Maria can check them and see, okay, this is where you need to make some amends or this
mm-hmm.
is what you need
mm-hmm.
to add.
Yeah, it's a great idea. And maybe if there is somebody who is listening and needs this kind of workshop or can, you know, give us some offer funding or, you know, get
or
just
if
let
somebody
us know.
Is interested in helping us also
yes.
and they have any good ideas. Please
yes.
get in touch.
Get in touch with us. yeah.
Mm.
Amazing. Okay, so education. And I know that in the last 2 years, you also made a step and you have now your own home, right, Maria?
Yeah.
How is that for you? And how did you manage to finally have your own first home, right?
Yeah, it was something that... Yeah, I thought, well, listening, as we're getting older, you need a place where to live. We cannot be on renting houses all the time, in particular because I get New Zealand probably, old. I mean, when I was oldest than the other, I didn't have the opportunity to have, or I'm not going to have the same opportunity to have a big Kiwi saver to save me after retirement. Then I was thinking about other options to grow my wealth, let's say. Initially, I wanted to have a business, but a business is something. Mm-hmm. But I know that it could be hard in a small country, yeah, like New Zealand. So I said, well, the other is to get a home. And mentally, I was also ready to buy a house, because buy a house not only about money, it's about, well, you are saying this is home, and that is what I want to buy a house, because this is home. Mm-hmm. And so it goes beyond that you have money or not. It's also about mentally prepare to that journey, because you believe this is home.
Yeah, to grow your roots, right?
Yeah, so yeah. I mentally was ready. I knew my daughter and my son will move to Auckland. My son still live with me, but he will move to Auckland next year to study in there. That was a decision whether I should move back to Auckland. I work from home. I could work anywhere. Or I should buy in New Plymouth. And then is when I made my second big decision. It was, I'm going to stay in New Plymouth. Mm-hmm. I don't think I want to go to Auckland, even to get closer to them. But I can always drive 4.5 hours if I want, or they can come to me.
Yeah.
And that was the other big decision. So now I feel comfortable in here.
In New Plymouth, right?
In New Plymouth. I'm going to buy a house in here. I think was a opportunity in terms of the housing market. Again, I talked to a lot of people and about that, get advice how to get a home. It's a journey to get a home in here.
It is.
And yeah. Talking to people, what I should do, what I should don't do it, what I need to do. So again, I got a good advice from some of my friends telling me what to do. And finally, well, I got a house. Yeah.
Amazing.
I think what I, from all this conversation, my mind's been stuck on taking advice. Like, wherever you get good advice, take it and think about it and work on it. And I'm just enjoying the conversation so much about advice and how so many decisions can be made easy when somebody else has helped you in your journey.
Yeah, my advice, people, listen. With time, I have becoming better listener. Listen to what people say. You can take some advice, and the other you can reject it. It depends. At the end, the decision is us. It's on us. Okay. But listen what people say. Listen what people say. They are not bad advice, I guess. They are just advice. And then you listen and say, okay, one person told me this. Okay, maybe it's not relevant now, but probably becoming relevant later.
In the future, right?
In the future. But listen what people say, because, they are telling you something because of some reason.
Yeah. And I think it's like, because we had this meeting on Saturday and we were discussing about making yourself also at home. And a lot of people who are living in New Plymouth, they choose New Plymouth for a reason or another. And there were a lot of people who were saying there, New Plymouth, I chose New Plymouth, doesn't matter if I was in Auckland, Hamilton, South Island. Why did you stay here in New Plymouth? What keeps you connected to the community here?
Well, it's, I think I mentioned on Saturday.
Yeah.
When you meet people, you say, well, why were you like or becoming friends of some people and not the others? It's this kind of connection, you cannot explain it. And with New Plymouth, it's the same thing. I don't know why the first time that I just get into the city, I say, I like this city. I didn't feel that with Auckland. I really didn't like Auckland. But when I came here, well, it's like a, I don't know, probably have ancestors. My ancestors.
Ancestors, right?
Yeah, living here. It's just, yeah, like this city. You see, this is the coast. It just walk distant. This is the mountain. Why people don't want to live in here? Mm-hmm. I mean, my question was why people don't want to live in here. And I asked all them, why you don't want to live here? Oh, there are nothing to do. There's nothing.
Well, there are so many things to do.
Right? Yeah, there are so many things to do. I cannot see too much different from Auckland. I mean, well, there are shops, there are restaurants. What else do you want to do? I mean, even you getting here to be able to walk along the coast or go to the mountain. I think sometimes connection are, of course, are personal preference.
Yeah.
And sometimes you need to follow your heart, how they feel connected to the place. Because at the end, make something home. It's not only about say home. It's about you feeling that home. This is your home. If you don't have that feeling, then probably you need to move. Mm-hmm. And that is what I mean. Now I feel like this is home, but I really feel it from my heart.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Because you also, like, in order to feel like home, you need also to be very much in touch with who you really are. So obviously you as a person, you are very much in touch with yourself. So that makes you connected with what you want to do, right?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Correct. Yeah.
Wonderful.
So usually, Elena usually asks this question about food.
So yeah, food.
So we can't leave food out of the conversation. Can you tell us something about Venezuelan food or any particular dish that is very famous and is liked by everybody? And you also cook in New Plymouth.
Okay. Well, we eat our food. Well, we have rice. We have beef, shredded beef. We have black beans, okay? Something very important, but very hard to find here, are plantains. Plantains is kind of, I don't know, you have heard about, plantains are kind of the same family as a banana.
Oh.
Ah, yeah, the small bananas, or?
No, the no. biggest one, so plant. I don't think we grow plantains in here, mm-hmm. but they coming from either Ecuador or I think Philippines. From I don't know. Somebody mentioned the south part of India also have that one. Okay, so this is our in Venezuela a typical dish. With his rice, beef, shredded beef, black beans, and fried plantains. Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah. It's not too difficult to make, but probably sometimes busy or not say lazy to do it. But yeah, at least we have some part of the of the dish in there. We also have arepas. Arepas are made from corn flour.
Okay.
And we can find corn flour in New Plymouth.
Of course.
Okay. you can put inside basically anything from cheese, chicken, beef. Or you can make it vegetarian with salad, okay, or avocado in there. Also, you can put black beans in there. Okay, so that's several options in there. Close to the arepas are empanadas. Those are Venezuelan empanadas. We are made from corn flours as well. Mm. And inside, again, you can have chicken or cheese or beef. With also something that I love it, are the tequeños that are made from flour. It's like a finger cheese. But made from flour with chicken inside. They are very nice. I tried, when I wanted to eat it, I needed to make it at home. It takes some time, but it's also good. Yeah, well, but there is a good news in here. Believe it or not, although the Venezuelan community in New Plymouth is very small, I don't know if we get 20 people, 20 Venezuelans, probably not. but there is a Venezuelan taste. Restaurant.
Taste, Venezuelan taste.
Venezuelan right. taste. Oh, this is a like a promotion for them. That there is a, they opened a new shop in Maryland.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah, nice. I just came to know during the weekend. I saw something on the social media. Yeah, they opened a small shop in Maryland. So it's called Venezuelan Taste. That is having a Venezuelan restaurant where the community is so small. I'm really very proud of them.
Well, that's nice.
Make it that,
so nice.
Yeah.
If anybody is interested in giving it a try, you said it's in Maryland?
Yeah.
Venezuela Taste.
Venezuelan Taste. Is
Venezuelan Taste.
Okay. Margaret Road. Yeah, you see a little bit before the shopping center in there. Mm. When you go from town to the shop, you're going to find the Venezuelan Taste. I'm going to go and visit them on Wednesday because they are open from Wednesday to Saturday.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's a great idea. Mm. Maybe I can also go and take some arepas.
Yeah, some arepas. Yeah. Or empanadas or tequeños. They are all of this.
Beautiful. Thank you for sharing that, Maria. And because we have 5 more minutes left, we have the last question from the show. What would you recommend to people who come new to New Plymouth or New Zealand, or people who change their home and go to another place? How can you make yourself at home? What is your advice?
Engage into community activities. They go to Facebook, they're going to have fun, find a lot of events. I think that is not only in New Plymouth, but in Auckland as well. You go and join to the, probably your country group or your bigger community. Like, for example, I joined into the not only Venezuelan group, but Latin American group in Auckland, in New Plymouth, in New Zealand, and looking for the events where you can meet people. It's what I did when I came. I always joined to any community event that was appealing for me. I went to those, and I met a lot of people through that. And it's advice, don't stay home. Don't stay, go out, and you always going to talk to somebody that is going to give you a good advice. Go and talk, even if people don't speak English very well, you're going to find somebody who is going to talk to you. And get out from home. Don't stay home. Just get out and find a community that you feel close to. Mm-hmm.
Wonderful. And it's also, it doesn't matter about the weather, right? Because sometimes in Taranaki it can be a lot of wind. Doesn't matter, just go outside, go to the library, right? The migrant women meet up 11 a.m. on Tuesdays. You can be there. And also Zumba, right? Any other clubs that you know?
Well, I mainly do the Zumba since in here, but yeah, it depends what people enjoy. You enjoy other sports, I don't know, badminton or other things, join to those groups. They're usually looking for new people to come up. New people are usually welcome.
Yes.
Yeah. Just step out and get your raincoats ready all the time.
Yeah.
Even dress up. Nobody is stopping you. Dress up, get your raincoats ready, and just go out and meet people.
Yeah. And now that summer is coming, there are a lot of more festivals, events.
Mm.
Go there because they always a free auction. Some of them are paid, but always are free auctions to go.
Absolutely. And there's so many events that usually take place all year round within New Plymouth.
Yeah.
So I think keep your eyes on Facebook events and join groups. I like that advice, joining groups.
Joining groups.
Thank you so much. It was so lovely talking to you and getting to know you.
Yeah, it was amazing to have you again, Maria, at the radio. And I'm looking forward to see you tonight at Zumba and, yeah, see how you felt. Hopefully you felt good and we were gentle with you.
Thank you very much for inviting me. It has been really a pleasure to talk to you and to the audience, I mean, that have joined into this program.
Wonderful. Thank you so much, everyone. See you next Monday, same time, same place, 11 a.m. at Access Radio Taranaki. Have a wonderful day.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to this episode. For more information and others just like this, head along to our website, accessradiotaranaki.com.
This show was made at Access Radio Taranaki with help from New Zealand On Air. To find more local content, go to our website, accessradiotaranaki.com.